Broadcasting live from Studio 1A in Brooklyn, New York. This is Empire State Reptiles Live, specializing in connecting breeders and fans worldwide. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Well, a very good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Empire State Reptiles Live. Well, it's been about 3 months since the last time we have actually broadcasted a live show to you guys, and I want to take this time to not apologize for doing all that. It was summertime, lots of traveling, lots of fun, lots of visiting reptile shows, so we just didn't have enough time to squeeze in the show. But now we're hunkering down for the winter, and I promise you that we will get more and more shows out to you guys weekly starting this week. So, since we've broadcasted, there has been a lot of things happening, not just within the reptile community, but just within this country and the world as a whole. We have lost so many great and amazing people that I don't know, but obviously they were uncles, fathers, brothers, sisters, mothers, through heinous acts of terrorism throughout this country. Since the last time that we broadcasted, there was the... Oh man, just almost brings me to tears just talking about it. Well, we all know about the Las Vegas shooting that happened a couple weeks back now, or it might have been a month back or so. I don't want to spend too much time meddling in things like that, but I think that sometimes we just need to take some time and think about the people affected and the families affected. And, of course, terrorism hit very, very close to home this past Wednesday with the car attack on the Lower Side of Manhattan in New York City. We broadcast from Brooklyn, which is literally across the bridge right there. As soon as you come out the bridge, it's literally right there, and we've spent some time over there before, and it has definitely hit home. It's too close to home this time. Well, enough with my sorrowing stories and stuff like that. We're going to get right into the show tonight. We have somebody very, very special on the show. I always say that, and everybody that comes on the show is very, very special. We have Mr. Dan from Aatrox Snake Barrier. The Aatrox Snake Barrier is basically a snake repellent of some sort that keeps snakes, venomous and non-venomous or poisonous snakes, away from your family and all your personal areas in your home or whatever you want to say. But I don't really know how to pitch the product to you guys, so I'm going to let Dan come on, and he's going to explain what the Aatrox Snake Barrier truly is and how it's very revolutionary in snake repellents. Good evening, Dan. How are you tonight?
Hello, Chris. Thank you for having me on. I'm
good.
Doing good.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on. So, do you mind telling us a little bit about what your Aatrox Snake Barrier is? Now, we've all seen some commercials for it, and it definitely looks like a little miniature fence for snakes. So can you just elaborate on
that's a pretty fair that's a pretty fair description of it. That's about what it is. It's a nature fence for snakes. I'd say I would correct a couple of things just from the beginning, so we know, you know, what we're talking about and who we're talking to here. I would not refer to it as a repellent necessarily, because that puts in mind the idea of these chemical repellents that a lot of people use, both, you know, off market and on market, which are totally ineffective for deterring snakes from coming into your yard or protected areas, as we like to refer to them. So, you know, this is more of a way of sort of corralling snakes away from areas where you don't want them. And it is literally just a snake fence that's designed to be a psychological and physical barrier to snakes. And then the second thing, my job really isn't technically to make a pitch for you to purchase this product. I have been specifically tasked with coming and looking at the product and testing it with live snakes and finding issues with the barrier and correcting those, and then explaining to people how it works and why it works from the perspective of a snake expert. So I don't own any part of Aatrox. They do pay me for my work, but I'm not a salesman for the company in any way. I am simply a snake expert who has had ample opportunity to interact with snakes around the barrier and see how it works, and I'm in a great place to explain it to people and answer questions. So that's what I would like to do, because a lot of people will look at it and they'll think, okay, well, I can see this is an issue, or they'll have questions or they'll have comments, and then I'm in a position to, to make responses to that. So that's more what I would like to do than make a pitch for the product. Although I will say it does work, and if you want to deter snakes from your yard, I would definitely suggest buying it. I'm just not doing that as a salesperson. I'm doing it as an expert witness, I guess.
Oh, okay. So you can give us a very good unbiased account on how great or good the Aatrox snake barrier works, which is perfect for today's setting.
Absolutely.
Setting.
Especially since we're talking mostly to snake lovers like myself and yourself, that, it is, I've actually found that a lot of times snake people will look at it and they'll go, oh yeah, that will work, because we understand snake psychology better than your average person. And, your average person who's never interacted with snakes or hasn't seen very many of them, or only seen them in short, short bursts, doesn't really, they don't really understand snake behavior, snake psychology. So, but there are always a lot of questions, and I am amply able to answer them if anybody wants to call in or whatever questions you'd like to have. I could also start by just describing basically how the barrier works and why it's so effective. So.
Yeah, definitely. You just actually segued right into my first question. So can you just give us
Perfect.
A little bit of an explanation as to how this barrier actually
Sure.
works?
Yeah. So your description is pretty fair, pretty accurate. It is a fence. And I will say that you all know that if you put up, like, say, a 4 foot tall chicken wire, but hardware cloth fence, a 5 foot tall hardware cloth fence and sunk it into the ground, you probably could keep snakes out of any area you wanted to. But that hardware cloth fence would be ugly and expensive, and it would rust and, fall apart over time. So the genius of the Aatrox snake barrier, it comes in a couple of different reasons. And one of those is it's made from really durable materials. The owner and CEO is actually owns a window screen company, and he has used his window screen knowledge to put a really durable window screen on the product, so it doesn't rust, it holds up to UV, it'll last a lot longer than some of the metal products that people have tried to block snakes with. And then the other great thing about it is that unlike a wire fence, a tall wire fence, it doesn't look awful. It's shorter, it's quite small, about 8 to 10 inches high. And then the last thing is it actually allows snakes that are on the inside of the barrier to escape while preventing snakes that are on the outside of the barrier from getting in. And it does this with just a very simple, everyone who sees it goes, why didn't I think of that? kind of slam yourself on the forehead. But basically all it is the shape of the way the fence is designed, the barrier is designed. It's sort of a C shape that creates an overhang with a slight lip on it. And so when a snake is crawling, especially out in the open, they see this dark, almost like tunnel, like hiding place that they can get into, and they go underneath that C channel, and then they're greeted with a fence, basically, that they can't get through. And because it's screen material, even the tiniest snakes can't move through it. And then that generally just directs the snakes in the path of least resistance, which any of you who have had a snake escape in your house, the one of the easiest ways to catch them is to put a snake trap along a wall, because they'll bump into the wall and then they'll crawl along the wall. So they just take the path of least resistance until they bump into something that they're looking for, like food or water or a hiding place. So most snakes, they just contact the barrier, they try and push through it for a second, and then they just turn right or left, or they turn around and go back the other way. Now, a few intrepid individuals might try and go over the fence at that point, but because of the overhang and the position that it's in, even the largest snakes, even the arboreal snakes and the extremely intelligent diurnal snakes, all of them, it's just too much of an angle for them to bend backwards to get over that C channel, and they just get trapped in it. And even though they are physically capable of figuring it out, they're just not, you know, I mean, you know, snakes, they're not super smart animals. Mm-hmm. They're more animals of reaction. So they basically, it's a psychological barrier. They can't figure it out, so they just get frustrated, or however a snake gets frustrated, and then take the path of least resistance away from the protected area. Now, if they're on the inside of the barrier, there's no C channel, and all there is this very low, you know, 8 to 10 inch high little thing that they bump into, and they can easily crawl right over it. And we actually tested this with this big rattlesnake, Brutus, who's a real good friend of mine, and an education animal that is in a museum out in western Kansas, and he's traveled with me all across the United States, well, to the western part of the United States anyway, to educate people about rattlesnake conservation. And, you know, Brutus is, I'd say he's 5 feet. He might be a little bit bigger, but he's a big bruiser of a rattlesnake. And he bumped himself against that fence, you know, all day long and could not figure it out. And then we put him on the inside of it to film the escape. And on the first try, he crawled right over it like it wasn't even there. And, you know, so it really works. It lets the snakes out, but it doesn't let them in. So I was convinced after a couple of days of working with the barrier and filming various species around it.
Which leads me, my next question for you is, what do you think is a little bit too much for the barrier snake wise? So obviously we have some large snakes in different parts of the country or even across the world, because obviously this Aatrox snake barrier might be employed across the world. So, what seems to be the weak point of this barrier?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I like the way you asked that question, because this is an important point that I keep trying to make, and it's really hard to convey in a way that makes sense to people. And I think people want simple answers. They want to say, does it work or does it not work, right? And when I try and be nuanced and explain, you know, the barrier, sometimes I lose their attention. But, you know, as humans, what we do is I say, I have a snake-proof barrier. And then the first thing we do is what? We try and find a way for that not to work, right? So we're going, well, but if, you know, if the snake were doing this, then, you know. And our point is not to say that it is 100% effective in every single situation where a snake is going to encounter it. I think that would be an unrealistic expectation for any product. What we're trying to say is that in most interactions with the barrier is going to do exactly what it's supposed to do, which is direct the snake away from the protected area. And after seeing dozens and dozens of repetitions and never seeing a snake beat it yet, I'm not going to say, you know, a snake will never figure it out. But I will say that it's going to have a very high likelihood of success. Now, could I think of 100 ways how a snake could beat it? Like, absolutely. Like, and one thing to keep in mind is that there is no product on the market right now that effectively does what this barrier does. So, like, for example, let's say Snake Away, okay, or a product like it. And, you know, I can name them by name because, again, I don't own Aatrox or whatever, and I'm just an outside guy, you know. Mothballs, any of these, like sulfur, any of these ideas. Okay, the idea is you take this smelly substance and you pour it all around your yard, right? And the snake is going to smell that and be deterred, okay? So let's assume for a second that that works, right? So if that actually deters snakes, then that means any snake that's trapped inside your yard when you put that stuff down is going to stay there permanently, right? So right there, the Aatrox snake barrier is going to be superior because it's letting snakes out that are already in. Now, we all know, anyone who's seen someone test it, anyone who's worked with snakes around this stuff, none of these products actually deter snakes from doing anything. And, you know, there's all kinds of videos on YouTube of guys testing it out and gals testing it out with various species of snakes. They crawl right over it like it's not even there. I would say, personally, I think it's totally ineffective. Like, I have never seen Snake Away work in any circumstance except possibly in a lab setting. So, you know, with that in mind, even if the Aatrox snake barrier worked 50% of the time, it's still 100 times better than any of the products that are currently on the market, right? So, mm-hmm. so having seen dozens of snake interactions with it and never seeing one beat it, I would say that the percentage effect, you know, efficacy of the thing is going to be much higher once we do enough repetitions. You know, if we have snakes encounter it, let's say, 1,000 times, I bet that the percentage of times that the snakes actually beat it will be very, very low, if at all, right? Now, that being said, there are species of snakes, there are individual snakes, there are circumstances where the snakes can probably get over the fence, and even in those situations, even when that happens occasionally, the barrier is going to still be so much better than anything that's out there right now. Does that make sense?
Of course. Yes, of course.
So even a tree branch could fall out of a tree, for example, and cross the barrier, right? So when a snake is crawling, it could come across that tree branch and crawl right over it. Then it's not going to work, right? Or your dog could dig a hole under the barrier and a snake could crawl right under the hole, right? It beats it. So there you go. Let's say you have a coach whip or a racer or some other intelligent, large, diurnal snake, and it happens to crawl up to the edge of the barrier and periscope right next to it. You know, they lift up and they look around. A periscoping coach whip is not even going to notice the barrier. If it sees something it wants to go for on the other side of it, it's just going to go right over it, right? The barrier works when the snake goes under the sea channel. If the snake doesn't make contact with the bottom side of the sea channel, they could get over it. It is possible, but I just have never seen a circumstance where that happens, and the chances of that happening seem really low to me, you know?
Of course, of course. So let's get into, like, the application of the Utrox snake barrier. So let's say somebody wants to get this product and implement it into their home or backyard or whatever you want to say. What is the perfect application in your, since you've worked with this product, what is the perfect way to set this up for optimum results?
Yeah, I think out of all of the the versions of it that I've seen, I think the applications where you have like a high traffic area for snakes, like, you know, for example, if you live in a neighborhood where there happens to be a swamp, like say you're in Florida and there's a lot of pygmy rattlesnakes around, something like that, where you want to keep nature out, but you don't want to kill nature necessarily. Those seem to be like the perfect places for it. So around your home in situations like that, or in an area where you have something that's attracting snakes. So let's say you have a chicken coop or you have a bird feeder, or, you know, which bird feeders people, you know, I always tell people, like, how do I get snakes out of my yard? Stop putting bird seed out. Like, well, they don't eat bird seed, do they? And like, no, but they eat rats and mice and birds. So, you know, if you attract birds, you know, another version would be a koi pond. You know, you have goldfish, you're going to have garter snakes, and, you know, in certain areas, you're going to have, you know, water moccasins and things like that. So, you know, where you have something that attracts snakes naturally to your yard, the barrier will work great for deterring snakes away from that. And where you have a high population of snakes, I think that will be good. Other applications, you know, like camping or hunting, situations like that, I think that in, like, for example, if you imagine a campsite, it just, what it does is it gives you peace of mind, you know? The chances of you actually encountering a venomous snake at a campsite are probably pretty low, but if it happens, boy, does it suck, right? You know? And if you are someone who's afraid of snakes, you know, if you're nervous around species of snake, it doesn't even have to be a venomous snake. If a snake comes into your campsite, that's going to ruin your camping trip. So setting up a barrier around the tent just to give you that calm, allowing you to just enjoy nature because you have a snake fear, I think that's another great use for it. I can think of a million things. I mean, think of your grandma who's afraid of garter snakes and she's got them in her garden. She doesn't want to go out and pick vegetables in her garden because the garter snakes scare her. You know, put it up around the garden. And, you know, using it in the yard, one of the reasons why it's so short is so that it doesn't have that that sort of eyesore thing that, like, most big barriers would have. I mean, you could put a big cement block barrier around your yard, too, and keep all the snakes out and keep all the snakes in, obviously. But it's going to look ugly. But this thing is small enough that it's not going to be an eyesore in your yard. I've heard Eric, the CEO, talk about the possibility of the screen being various colors sometime in the future. Right now, I think it's only available in black, but, you know, it is possible to get it even to match the color of your house or your chicken coop or something like that, which, you know, that may come down the road. So applications like that. And as a snake lover, which most of the people who are listening to this obviously are snake lovers, think about how most snake-human interactions end. I mean, what hobby, what job has to deal with what we deal with, which is you say, oh, I'm a snake expert, or I breed snakes. And then the first thing someone says to you is, oh, I killed a snake. Do you know what kind it is? You know? So most human snake interactions end in the snake being killed. Well, this barrier does something that almost no other barrier does, which is it directs the snake away from the area you don't want them, but it sends them right back out into nature where they belong. And, you know, it lets nature take its course. I've heard, you know, a lot of people on the thing have said, oh, well, there's hawks and there's king snakes and they'll control your snakes for you. If you put this barrier up, you're not going to stop hawks and king snakes from eating the snakes. You're actually going to send them right back out to where all the hawks and the king snakes are, right? And you're also going to send them out where they can breed and do their thing and be part of the natural, you know, natural order of things. So that's, I think those reasons are why I'm so excited about the product. And I was excited to be part of the team that tested it. So.
Of course. So ladies and gentlemen, do not forget that this episode is up for open conversation. The number to give us a call at is 713-955-0793. If you have any questions about the Aatrox snake barriers or have any opinions about it, the number once again is 713-955-0793. So what type of snakes was this Aatrox snake barrier tested on? And what type of snake would you want to test it on in the future?
Oh, well, that's a great question, actually. We have these little conversations all the time where we're like, ooh, you know, we should go, you know, go to Australia or whatever. Or we should go to the Kentucky Reptile Zoo and test it out on all these things. I mean, honestly, I want to see two things. I want to see the big, you know, Australian elapids, which honestly, even as a snake guy, they make me a little bit nervous because they're like venomous coach whips, you know, but like, I want to see how they interact with the barrier and like how I've heard from a lot of people who work around these snakes that the way that they move, you know, they have their head raised a little bit. And they may actually not encounter the barrier the correct way to get them trapped under it. I can guarantee you one thing. If no matter what species of snake it is, unless it's something like a Burmese python that can push the barrier over, if they get underneath that sea channel, there's almost no chance that they're getting past the barrier, no matter how big they are, no matter how intelligent they are. I don't see a snake figuring their way out of that. But one approaching it that's like crawling with its head slightly up, like a cobra or a mamba or something like that, they may, because of their size and the way they move, they may actually go over it. But I don't know yet. We've had a cobra against the barrier. I wasn't even there for that one, and it was a smaller cobra. But, you know, seeing some big elapids would be really cool for me. And, you know, honestly, like maybe some small gators and crocodilians, turtles, you know, things like that, because there is potential, in my opinion. And I know this hasn't been marketed really, but as a wildlife barrier, to prevent animals from going on roadways, to prevent them from getting in places where they shouldn't go, you know, how easy would it be to set up a barrier like this around, say, storm drains, like up in your area, to prevent baby diamondback terrapins from falling into storm drains, you know?
Yeah.
Throw out an example, right? Or keeping toads and frogs and other animals from falling into your swimming pool, right? So there's a lot of applications like that. So I'd like to see how other animals react to it. I'm pretty sure that most of them would have a similar, you know, experience to the snakes. You know, snakes are obviously a lot better at crawling over things and figuring things out than most animals are. But what else? Well, and what we did test it with, like, we brought, I don't even know how many species at this point. They're all on film, though, so you can see. We did, the coach whip was a big one for me. I wanted to see the coach whip interact with it. And we had this crazy wild coach whip that just, like, ran at the barrier at, like, you know, 500 miles an hour, and it was perfect. We did water snakes of at least one species. We did eastern hognose, western hognose, big Aatrox and some smaller Aatrox. Obviously Brutus, who's the star of the show, big beautiful diamondback. We did a big old cottonmouth, which is another that snake. If you see the cottonmouth in that video, that snake is over 20 years old, and it lived at KU in the Deich Hall Natural History Museum, and now it's on display at the Sternberg Museum of Natural History, the same place where Brutus lives. So, and that big old beast got a shot at the barrier as well. So, I don't know. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. Oh, rat snakes, obviously, the big rat snake. I don't know if you've seen the video or the pictures. There's the rat snake, the very one that we used, crawling up the side of the tree near where we set up the barrier. And it's just literally like gripping the edges of the bark and just going straight up the tree with no problem. And then when it encountered the barrier, had no idea how to get past it. So Yeah. It's pretty
that
cool.
That sounds so great. Yeah, so something else that just popped up to my mind. I'm not sure if you will be able to answer this question because of the capacity that you worked with the snake barrier in, but how does the snake barrier work with your everyday lifestyle? Now, what I mean by that is, like, if you have small children or pets, will they trip over this barrier, or is it kind of, I'm not sure what word to use, malleable, where if you step on it, it's not going to just totally collapse or something like that?
So the window screen material that it's made out of is pretty darn durable. I've seen it up close, and it feels more like, almost like canvas, you know? It's like, it's a really, really strong material. And then the way that the barrier is erected, I think, I don't know, honestly, because I haven't seen anybody trip over it, but if someone stepped on it, my feeling is that section of the barrier would probably collapse a bit, like, you know, the shape would fall, as opposed to it tearing or ripping. Although it's probably possible if somebody stepped on it real good, like close to one of the sea channels, it could tear. But I don't know. There's enough space between the sea channels that they would probably just give in towards each other a little bit, and then you just have to set it back up again. So probably not a huge concern. And even a kid, say a 5-year-old or up, could step over it without any help, I think. It's not a very tall thing. We actually had Eric's dog, who's a kind of a lab puppy, was out there while we were setting it up. The biggest issue we had with the dog was when we were setting the barrier up, the little turd grabbed the plastic baggie full of screws that put the barrier together and ran away with them. And then there was a hole in it, and he dropped the screws all over the yard, and we had to walk around picking up screws in order to put the thing together. But he stepped over it like it wasn't even there. So I don't think dogs are going to have an issue with it at all, and I don't think they see it as a barrier of any kind. So,
yeah, sounds great. So now I think we've covered basically all aspects of the snake barrier. So I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about what you do personally with your snakes. And so you said that you work professionally with snakes, and that's what you've dedicated your life to.
Yeah, I do a lot of things. I'm sort of an unusual duck in this snake world. I do breed snakes. I breed Western hognose snakes, and I have for 20 years, and I go to a lot of reptile shows, and I actually this last year took a year off from that. I had kind of a bad situation happen this spring with a flood in my basement, and I just I needed some time to kind of recover from that. But I am a snake breeder, and I probably always will be in some capacity. I serve on the board of directors of the Rattlesnake Preservation Trust, which is a conservation group that is trying to replace the traditional rattlesnake roundup, where thousands, tens of thousands of rattlesnakes are slaughtered every year for entertainment's sake, with an educational no-kill version of that. And for the last four or five years, I haven't been involved with it the entire time, but they have put on a no-kill rattlesnake roundup in Texas, which is just fantastic. I also sometimes do professional work as a herpetologist. I've done environmental consulting work and field work and things like that, where I go collect specimens or take people out to find specimens and that sort of thing. But it's just, you know, I also do some documentary film work, and you know, whatever comes up, I'm kind of an on-camera guy. So I do animal presentations, I do shows for kids, just whatever comes up. I'm a kind of a jack of all trades, so I got a lot of pots on the fire, as they say. So
yeah, so I know this, you probably get this a lot, but I love asking this question simply because how difficult it is to answer for us reptile folks. But what is your favorite snake?
I know exactly what you were going to say, and that is the worst. That is just the worst question to get asked. It sucks. Yeah. Well, you know, my standard answer is, well, I have two answers to that. One, obviously, is the Western hognose snake. I think that there are a lot of reasons why they should be everybody's favorite snake. I am smitten with the species, both in captivity and in the wild. I think they're fascinating, beautiful, interesting natural history. Everything about them is just, I love them. But really, my more common answer is whatever snake I've got in my hand right now. I love getting out in the field. I love taking kids out in the field, finding snakes, any, you know, whether it's a ringneck or a brown snake, or, I mean, you'll see me on film, you'll hear me on radio, you'll see me in person, and I will always say, oh, this is one of my favorite species every time I pick something up, because, I mean, there's something to love about every single one of them, except ball pythons. And so, no, it's okay. Ball pythons.
You don't like
ball pythons. I always tease ball python people because my, you know, like, ball pythons are like the complete opposite of Western hogs. Like, Western hogs are like lizards. Yes. They're like out and about. They're like checking you out. They're like moving around the cage all the time. And ball pythons are like pretty rocks that you have to feed rats to, you know? So
that's definitely, I hope I don't get hate for saying that, but that's definitely the case. I've been wanting to say that for a while now.
I say it in a loving way. I say it in a loving way.
So. Yeah. So, just to close this out, what is one tip that you have for somebody that is setting up the Aatrox snake barrier or plan on getting one and implementing it into their lifestyle, put it like that?
Yeah. I would say, you know, make sure that the barrier is erected properly. You know, follow the instructions, set it up properly, make sure you got it pinned down well to the ground. And then make sure you maintain it. You know, if the barrier is maintained properly, like you keep the area around it clear of debris, you know, you watch for issues like, say, your dog digging a hole under it or your kids messing with it and that sort of thing. As long as it is, you know, minimally at least set up properly, it will function and it will deter snakes from entering your protected area. I think that's the most important thing, is make sure you set it up right and make sure you maintain it. And I would say, too, like, you know, be careful around it when you're like weed whipping and things like that. You don't want to do damage to the fence. But another cool thing about it is, even if part of the fence fails for some reason, like if a tree falls on one section of the fence, that the rest of the fence is still going to be completely functional because it's all set up in individual channels, you know? So you could take a machete to part of the fence and you're still going to have success with most snake encounters with the fence. So, but yeah. Set it up properly and keep it maintained, I think, is probably the best advice I could give.
Of course. Thank you so much, Dan, for joining us tonight. It's been a great pleasure talking to you and learning a lot more about the Aatrox snake barrier, as well as your personal life dealing with the hognose and all the other snakes you deal with.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been fun talking.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in for tonight's show. The Aatrox snake barrier is now in its Kickstarter phase of its development. So it's trying to raise $400,000 for the development and manufacturing of the snake barrier itself. I think it's $400,000, somewhere around there. So if you want to purchase your own Aatrox snake barrier or pre-order it, if you shall say, please visit them online at www.aatroxsnakebarrier.com, and they will direct you to how you can pre-order and help back their product. Well, from all of us here at our Studio 1A in Brooklyn, New York, we thank you guys so much for listening tonight. We have promised you guys that we will get right back on track of how we were kicking out shows earlier this year. And let's close out this year definitely very, very strong. Once again, my name is Chris, and I had the greatest pleasure of being your host for tonight's show. And I hope to see you guys back here next week at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at Blog Talk Radio. And if you want to hit us up online, that is at www.esrlive.com, or send us an email at info@esrlive.com. Thank you guys so much, and I look forward to talking to you guys soon. Good night.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Empire State Reptiles Live. Find us online at empirestatereptileslive.com.